message I'm bringing tonight will help you to understand a lot of things for many, many years. I kind of was confused on, and I couldn't understand, and I wouldn't have been able to have answered the question. Now, having to believe your soul's good, you need to shout sometime, you know, just dance in the Spirit, have a wonderful time. But how many believe there are times that we need to feed our mind? We need to feed our intellect. We need to hear. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learning of him is not just getting a blessing. Learning of him is studying the word, being rooted and grounded. Now, a blessing will hold you while you're having it, but the word will hold you when all hell breaks loose on you. You know, the reason you've stood as long as you've stood, it's because of the word. You know, blessings are good. We need them and we must have them. And they have their time. But we need the word. Now, when you read the Bible, Old Testament, and you read scriptures that refer to Israel and refer to Judah, and refer to Israel, Jacob's seed and all that, I suppose there's as many false error doctrines that springs out from that as just about anything. People, they'll tell you, oh, don't you know, Israel is God's chosen people. The Bible doesn't say one word in the world about that in the New Testament, that they're God's chosen people. They were God's ancient chosen people. But there's only one people chosen today, and that's the ones that are newborn. He said there's neither Jew nor Gentile. God does not recognize anybody from the seed of Abraham, only coming through Christ now. Now you get this. Now I know that he said, for my name's sake, I'm going to bring Israel that I have punished and whipped. I'm going to bring them back to their own land. Now, will there come a time that God will say, well, I'm turning from the Gentiles now and from the church, and I'm going to go back, and even though they accept Christ, we're going to kind of make a separation between the church and Israel, the tribes in Judah, and God will deal and put Judah and Israel at the top, and then let his church take a kind of a seat down and then bring in Israel as an independent, separate nation. A lot of people think that. A lot of people in the reading of the Old Testament, where it speaks of the end time, where Israel and where it speaks of Judah coming to the front, and where it speaks of them having a you know, a prominent place in Palestine and various other things. You read all kind of scriptures. They think, well, now, since practically all of them are antichrist, practically a whole bunch is antichrist, means they're against Christ. They'll almost shoot you over there. They'll put you out of the country if you mention Christ. There's a few coming in. But Israel as a nation has rejected Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to know why they were scattered through all the nations for 1900 years, it was for no other reason but for rejecting Christ. It was rejecting God's plan of salvation. You see, when the Jews said to Peter, we crucified him, we finally got him on the cross, we got rid of him, he come to be our Savior, he come to save us, but boy, we finally got rid of him, we crucified him. But when he said, oh no, you didn't get the job done, he come out of there the third day, and he's been here for 40 days, he's ascended, the Holy Ghost has come, God's got a new setup now. They said, well, what should we do? Repent. You believe in the Father and the Holy Ghost, but you got to go down the water and be baptized in the name of the one you crucified for remission of sin, because God didn't die for remission of sin, but you, when you're baptized, it's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But you must come under by being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you can only find grace with God only through the church and through a new birth. If you're not born again, when Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He is talking to every Israelite, everyone in the tribe of Judah, everyone in the tribe of Israel, anybody, no matter lock, stock, and barrel, from Adam to no matter who it is. He said, whosoever will preach the gospel. And if they'll say, wait just a minute, I'm a Jew. He said, God said, preach it to every creature. And if you come under the category of a creature, I'm preaching the gospel. And if I preach the gospel, you believe it. And you can't preach the gospel without preaching Christ and the new birth and coming into the church. And if they believe it, they'll be saved. And whenever they get saved, they're no more Jew. They're a new creature. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, but a new creature. Now, they fussed a whole lot about Abraham. They'd get mad at Jesus, and they'd say, "Oh, we have Abraham to our seed. We're the children of Abraham." And God was caught up with it, and he anointed his prophet to say, the children of Abraham, God is able to take these stones and raise up children to Abraham. It doesn't have to depend on you. Now, that was a time when God got kind of aggravated with the children of Israel, as all 12 tribes of them. And he got so sewed up with them way back there when he's bringing them out of Egypt, that one day he just said to Moses, he said, Moses, wait a minute. I know I made a covenant with Abraham, bless his seed. But after all, you're one of the tribes. I'm just going to bypass him. And I'll take you and your tribe, and I will raise up a seed and just stand back, and I'll wipe the whole bunch off of the face of the earth. Only those that Caleb and Joshua and those that have obeyed me, but I'll wipe them off, and I'll take you and raise the seed up unto you. Now that's what God said. Now had he done that, they couldn't have bragged no more and said, we're Abraham's seed. Said, boy, God's already blowed the fuse on his seed. Now it's Moses. But Moses said, wait a minute, God, let's not do that. Now they'll say you brought them out here and you couldn't do the job, so you just killed them. Please extend mercy. And he interceded for Israel. And God said, okay, I'll go along, but let me read you some scriptures. This is wonderful. Jesus Christ came into the world from what tribe? Huh? Behold, he said, I am the Lion of the tribe of what? Judah. Now, what is so unusual about Judah? Well, you want to find up, you want to read up on Judah. You go to the Strong's Concordance where it lists every name in the Bible, and you find Judah. And you'll find there about 170 some odd times that God is talking about Judah, 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 170 some odd times. And you find Benjamin, you find Issachar, you find Joseph, you find the rest of them, and you'll find just a little tiny bunch of names there, maybe 10, 12, maybe 14, maybe 18. But when you come to Judah, the whole book is full of Judah. Now, when Jacob was dying and he was blessing his 12 sons, which become the 12 tribes of Judah, when he was blessing them, in Genesis here, let me get the, it's Genesis 49 and 10, those that have your Bible, 49 and 10. It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him. And unto him. Now he's talking and he's blessing the tribe of Judah. Here in this 49th chapter, he takes each son as he comes and he pronounced a blessing upon him. When Joseph came, he told about him. When Gad came, he told about him, said, "Thou art a troop," and goes on. And you go on, Issachar, Zebulun, and each one of them, he told what would befall their tribe down the line. I want you to catch this now. This is very important. It'll help you to understand what God is talking about in all the Bible when it seems like that surely Israel or the tribes of Israel is going to be very prevalent. Wherever God talks of Israel or the tribes, the Bible is explaining right here exactly what he means by it. And you must be sure to get this. And it says here, note it, first said, Judah's a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stoopeth down, he croucheth as a lion, as an old lion, and he roused him up. The scepter, that means that which rules, shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh, the Messiah, come. Notice this now. And unto him shall the gathering, unto him through the tribe of Judah shall come God's Messiah, and unto him shall the gathering of all the people be. Now let's just leave that right there. That's Judah. That's the tribe that in your Bible, and when you look to the concordance to find how many times the name is mentioned, you'll find close to 200 different times he uses Judah, 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 Judah. Now, David also came from the tribe of Judah, and he said that through the lineage of David, the loins of David, would come a son. Now, that son wasn't Solomon. Because he said, that son is going to come and I'm going to establish my kingdom with him. There was no kingdom established until the Roman Empire when Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. But Jesus came. Now, he says there, I read to in Chronicles, where Nathan told David, he said he'll not only be my son and establish his kingdom, but I'm going to be a father to him and he's going to be a son unto me. And he is the one that is going to have the blessing upon him. He's the one that will build me a house. And our body is that house. I brought that out Sunday morning. But let's notice here that the word in prophecy says, from the tribe of Judah shall come the scepter, the one that rules, will not depart, the lawgiver between his feet, until Shiloh. Now, when all Israel would deal with Shiloh, that was the Savior, or the Messiah, the one that would come to help. And so it said, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, let's turn over to another portion of Scripture. This is good. I want you to get it. If you want these Scriptures, this tape will also be where you can get it. Let's go to Amos, the 7th chapter, beginning at the 7th verse. Those that have your Bibles, you can turn to that. And it says here, and the Lord, the 7th verse. And thus the Lord showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord said, Amos, put down the book. I've got something I want to show you. He said, what do you see? He said, I see the Lord standing on a wall. And this wall is built by a plumb line. And God has a plumb line in his hand, and he's holding the plumb line. Now, how many here, you know what a plumb line is? You see, now a plumb line is a lead thing made of real heavy iron or steel, and it's about that long. And it comes to a real point, and it has a little hole up here in the top of it, weighs about a pound. You tie a little string around it. You fix it up here at a certain position, and when the thing stops moving and going back and forth, it'll stop. All right. Then you have a certain place that you want your wall to come up from, And you move that till that little point comes right over the spot you want the wall to come up from. Then, as that plumb line hangs down, you start laying your brick. And every time you lay the brick, you just lay it and barely touch that plumb line. And you never move the plumb line out of its way. You come right down with that plumb line, and when it hits that string, it's exactly on the line. Now when you get through, you step back, and you've got a wall as straight as an arrow. There's not a bobble in it. Why? Because there's a plumb line that hangs down. It's about a pound in weight, real heavy. And if you build that wall according to that plumb line, you got a straight wall. Now, God said, Amos, what are you seeing? He said, I see a plumb line. And it's in the hand there, and they're building the wall by it. Now, then here's what God said. The eighth verse. Now, he showed me a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And he said, I see a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not again pass by them. From the tribe of Judah and through the lineage of David, my son is going to come into the world, and the Bible tells us there, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. He is going to be a plumb line. From then on, they don't say, Moses said so-and-so, Abraham said so-and-so. We're going to put a plumb line, and the contractor says, build the wall according to the plumb line, and if it is not according to the plumb line, then it must be broken down. So he said, I have set a plumb line, which was Jesus Christ, God's Son, that came from heaven. I have set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I expect every tribe, I expect everyone, whether it be Judah or the lost tribes of Israel, no matter who they are, if they're a creature, if they're upon this earth, I require them to build their wall according to my plumb line. I have set the plumb line here. Now I'll step back. I'm not going to pass by them anymore. I'm going to say, I've given you my son. He's given you the law. He's given you the doctrine of Christ. He's given you the gospel. Obey it or go to hell. Believe it and be saved. I put the plumb line there. Now, let's come on to something that really is stirring. Let's go to the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And this chapter, 37th chapter, is the resurrection of dry bones. I want all your attention on this, and it'll help to clear up what I'm talking about. Now, the 37th chapter of Ezekiel is Israel being resurrected out of their graves in which God has buried them because they disobeyed and rejected his son Jesus. And the 37th chapter of Ezekiel is bringing them out of the graves. Jeremiah, God prophesied through Jeremiah and said, I'm going to take my people Israel, and because of their pride and arrogancy, he said, I am going to bury them in the nations until I have mired the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. So under Jeremiah, he foretold that Israel was going to be cut off as a nation. They were going to be scattered into all nations on earth. That's throughout the whole, the Old Testament. You find it all the way through. So it was destined. Even before Christ was ever born, he prophesied by the prophet, said, I am found of them that didn't even ask for me. I was manifest unto them that sought me not, but unto my own I have held out my arms, and day after day to Israel, but they would not. Now, he foretold and prophesied that he would come as a savior for Israel, but they'd reject him. But he would be accepted by the heathen. And that's exactly what happened. Now, in Jeremiah just take a second here to tell you. He said, Jeremiah, go downtown, buy a girdle, put it on. I'll go and get this girdle in downtown. And he got it and brought it back. He said, go down to the river Euphrates and bury it. He got his bilduk and went down and buried it by a big rock. God told him to bury it. So then after many, many, many days, it was a long time. Must have been a long time. God said to him, said, Jeremiah, go back to the river Euphrates by that big rock and dig up the girdle. Yeah, okay, and he grabbed his bilduk, he went down there. If he still had it, might have got another shovel. But anyway, he went down there and dug down to where he had buried the girdle. But it had been so many years since it happened, until when he picked it up, it fell all apart. And the Lord said, pick it up and put it on. He said, I can't. Why? He said, it's marred, it's unprofitable, and it's fit for nothing. He said, all right, take that and go down to Israel and give it as a sign. That's what I'm going to do with Israel. I'm going to put them in the ground. I'm going to bury them until I've marred their pride in all the nations. So then in Ezekiel, he comes there in Ezekiel, and Ezekiel went in the spirit into a valley of dry bones. And he said, what do you see? He said, I see a valley of dry bones. They're scattered everywhere. Well, he said, preach and prophesy. Do you think these dry bones could live? They say that we're dried, we're cut off from our part, and we're separated from our own. We're cut off, and we're dried, and we're without hope. He said, can these bones live? And he said, God, you alone know. Well, he said, preach and prophesy. And as he prophesied, the bones came together, bone to its bone, came up out of the grave. And then when they came up first, and there was skin, and the bones came together, and then finally was skin and flesh and sinew upon them. And then the last, he said, breathe upon them, and tell the breath to come and breathe upon these that are slain, that they may live. And he prophesied, and they all stood on their feet, an exceeding great army, and they become a nation. And he says, now this valley of bones is the whole house of Israel. I've scattered them, because that was in Ezekiel, hundreds of years before Christ came. But he's prophesying what would happen to Israel when they rejected his son, because that was when they were scattered. So Jesus said to him, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathered a brood, but you would not. Now your house is left, what? Desolate. Your house is left desolate. You'll fall to the edge of the sword and be led away captive to all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentile be fulfilled. You'll have no place of worship. They'll cast down every stone. You'll fall to the edge of the sword. And they did. Every word happened. Titus came in, and the blood flowed down the street. Israel, every last one of them was taken captive to all nations of the earth. And they were there for 1900 years. Now, right after he gets through telling them, he said, these bones, the whole house of Israel, say unto them, O my people, I will cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you back in the land of the living. Now he said to him, notice right here in the 37th chapter, but coming down to the 19th verse, and he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take of the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and I will take of the tribes of Israel, his fellows, all the tribes of Israel, which were 10, and I will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and will make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. I want you to notice what he says. Now, if you go up there to the 16th verse right above it, it goes on down to say, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick, write upon it for Judah, and upon the children of Israel, his companions, and take another stick for Joseph and for Ephraim and for the house of Israel, his companions. I want you now to take, notice, I want you to take one stick of Judah and put it by itself. Then I want you to take another stick for his companions, the house of Israel, the 10 tribes. And I want you to take that and wrap them together. Then I want you to take Joseph, and I want you to take Ephraim, because Ephraim was one of the sons of Joseph, and God finds special places for him and mentions him as one of the tribes down in different places. So he said, I want you to take Ephraim and gather Joseph together. And now here you've got one stick of Joseph and Ephraim, and you got them wrapped together. Then you've got another one here of the children of Israel, and you've got them all wrapped together. And now let's see what it's going to do with them. Now listen to this. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, the tribes, that's all 10 of them, and I will put them, now notice that, and I will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and I will make them one stick. And they shall be, God said, they're going to be in my hand, because I have made them not 12 sticks, not Joseph and Benjamin and not Judah. I'm going to take one stick, and I want you to gather all these other sticks and put them together, and I will make them one stick in my hand. But do you take those and put them with Issachar? With Gad? Do you put them with Benjamin? Do you put them with, I could mention all of the 12? He didn't say that. He said, I want you to take all the rest of them and put them with one stick, the stick of Judah, and they shall become one. Now then we find that when Jesus Christ came to the earth, he was the plumb line. He is the line of the tribe of Judah. He is the lawgiver that gives the law. He is Shiloh that shall come, and unto him, Jacob said, shall be gathered all the sticks, whether you're from China, whether you're from Germany, whether you're from the 10 tribes, whether you're from Benjamin. He said, I'll deal with all my tribes in one. I'll know only one tribe, and that's the tribe in my hand. Here's Moses. He takes a stick. This is helping you understand what he's meaning here. He said, put stick down. He said, I want to take all these sticks and all these magicians. That magician's got one, that one, and that one, and that one, and that one, and that one. They all got sticks. I want to put all the other sticks in one stick. Put your stick down, Moses. He put his stick down. And when he put his stick down, turned into a serpent. When all the other magicians put their sticks down, they turned into serpents. Now, Moses wondered what in the world was happening, but God knew what he was doing. He reached over, and the snake that was a stick in Moses' hand now is a live serpent. He gets hungry. He decides, boy, I want to put all these sticks in one. So he, down goes one, down goes two, and all of them go down. All at once, the little old snake kind of backs up to Moses, throws his tail up. Moses reached down and grabs the snake by the tail, and when he does, it goes back into a stick. Moses holds his stick up, but all the other sticks are in the one stick. You see what I mean? So God said, I'm going to take all the stick, the stick of the 10 tribes, the stick of Judah, and the stick of Joseph and his fellow man, and I want you to take and bind them up with that stick of Judah. And when you put them with the stick of Judah, I'm going to take the stick of Judah, and all Israel shall be one stick in my hand. And he sent Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he said, there's neither now, neither Jew nor Gentile, but a new creature in Christ. So when he speaks of Israel in the Old Testament, going to have their prominent place, it's the bride of Christ, made up of Jews, Greek, Gentiles, no matter who you are, it preached the gospel to every creature. Now, that does away with saying Israel is going to come back into prominence. Israel had her day, and God finally got totally disgusted with trying to salvage it. And he passed by Moses and didn't take Moses and make one. But he said, now they backslid again, and they got so sassy with me in the book of Malachi that I pulled the curtains to and I've shut my mouth. I haven't even grunted at them in 400 years. I'm through with them. Now when I send my son down, it's going to be the tribe of Judah, and he's going to be the lawgiver. He's going to be the one Shiloh in whom the gathering of the people shall be. And when Christ came, he come first to the lost tribe of the house of Israel. And then when Israel rejected, they were cut off. But the Israelites that believed, they came in and they were saved, the elect. Israel as a nation were blinded, but the elect came in. So we find that he extended the invitation to the Gentiles as well. And for 1900 years, Christ has made up his bride mostly among Gentile people. There hasn't been a day that Jesus Christ wouldn't save a Jew. But he's not going to save them until they come and confess his son Jesus Christ. We may make the statement, do you believe there's some way that God can save them independent of Christ? That would be a slap in the face of Almighty God to think it. He said, he that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son shall not see life, but God's wrath abides upon him. And if there is one thing God's anger was against Israel for, is because they rejected the words of Jesus Christ and his gospel. That is the prominent place. So he says then, who is the seed of Abraham? I used to be a Gentile, but I'm not now. Scripturally, I am not, under no circumstance. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. It said that we are not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Somebody said, well, I'm the tribe of Benjamin. That doesn't mean one thing. If you could prove that you're a Jew, even from the tribe of Judah, it means no, you'd get no profit from that. Paul the Apostle said, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. Now, who is the inward Jew? The seed of Abraham. Was the promise given to Jews? Never. It was given to Abraham. You say, well, he was a Jew. Oh, no. That was many, many, many years before Jews ever heard of. You see, Abraham was a Gentile, just like we are. And there was no such thing as an Israelite. He lived his life, and his son came on the scene, Isaac. He lived all of his time, and he was a Gentile. Then Isaac comes Jacob, and Jacob arrived on the scene, a Gentile, just like we are. And one day, after he had been here for a number of years, he went out and wrestled with God, and in the wrestling, he wrestled with God and said, God, I'll not let you go till you bless me. And he said, from here on, your name is not Jacob, because that's skin flint. That's cheat, swindler. From here on, I'm going to change your name to Israel, father of nations. And that second, Israel was born. But until then, there was no such thing as an Israelite. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, until he touched God and got the blessing, they were all Gentiles. And the blessing of Abraham came on Abraham while he was still there. But God's promise that through his seed, would come one that would bless all nations of the world. That's not the Jew. That's not the Turks. That's not the Greek. That's not the Chinese. Through thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And it was through the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Judah came. And he was the one that gathered the people. And through Christ, all nations were blessed. And you're neither a Jew nor a Gentile, but you become a new creature. You're called a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special nation unto God, made up of Greek, Jew, Gentile, whoever you be. But the minute you become a new creature in Christ, you're not who you was before. You are now God's people. At one time you were not the people of God, but are now the people of God. So we find every promise that God made to Israel is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, because we are what? We are the seed of Abraham. It says that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Jew. No. Paul said that the blessing of Abraham might come on us, the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the Judah that all the sticks were put in. God grabs a hold of that one stick, Judah. Who is that one individual? It's not one certain tribe back there. It is Shiloh, the inspired prophecy said. And unto him shall the people be gathered together. God used his son to bring the Jew, the Greek, and all together. So we find it said they that are Christ are Abraham's seed and joint heir according to the promise. Every promise he made to Abraham, and all the Jews have prided themselves in being the seed of Abraham. It said, we today, when we come, we're no longer heathen, but we are drawn nigh by the blood of Christ. We become the citizens of heaven. We're the church of the firstborn. And it said we are joint heir according to the promise. We are the seed of Abraham. So tonight, I, no matter what I have been, I am now, I am the seed of Abraham. And I have joint heir according to the promise. The blessing of Abraham might come on us through Christ, the Shiloh, the Messiah, the one that gathered him. So, whenever Israel is mentioned in prophecy and they take a prominent place, remember, it is in Jesus Christ. He is the Judah. That takes all. You say, well, could that be wrong? God doesn't put anything wrong in the Bible. He plainly states everything that I've told you and made it very clear in the New Testament. The bride is taken up of whosoever will. You say, well, it's not made of, he left out the Jew. He wouldn't accept them. He just went ahead and made up his bride of that. Oh, no. He said, I want you to go out now and preach this gospel to every creature. Don't change it. Don't add to it. Preach the same thing to the end. And when you preach it, preach to every creature. Tell them all. They've got to all be alike. Let them come in. Under Shiloh shall be the gathering of the people. I'll take all the sticks and put them in one. I will deal with all of my tribes that I've dealt with before in one tribe, and that is in the tribe of Judah. And my son shall head that tribe up, and he is the lion. The lion is the papa. All the rest of them bow down to the lion. He's the king of the forest. Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. And so we find tonight that how many thank God that you have found a prominent place. Now, I preach Sunday morning on how we are the house of God. We are the tabernacle of God. I've told you tonight of how that God makes it very clear. We are the people of God. And if God has a chosen people, it's not the Jew, it's not the Gentile, it's the church. And if anybody wants to be saved from hell, I don't care what kind of a Jew, how good they are, how much they obey that Old Testament to the very letter, they'll die and split hell wide open unless they're born again and accept God's Son. How many believe that's the truth? Now, I've delivered my message tonight. Does that, when you study, does that clear it up? In him, who was the son of David? He made prophecies about the son of David. you know, said he'll head up a kingdom, and he'll be my son and I'll be his father. But who was that son? Jesus took upon him the lineage of David, took upon him the form of man, and was born of the seed of the woman through the lineage of David. From God's side, the man's side, he was God's son. He had no earthly father. But they called him constantly the Son of David. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, Jesus said, I am the root and I am the offspring of David. David was last fall, last year. He died, but now the root has sprung forth and brought forth from the root another tree. This is not the tree that lived last year, that is David. But now, through his seed, I am the root and the offspring of David. And then when you read in the Bible, it said, I will give my people under the hand of my servant David, and he shall dwell over them, and he shall be king over all the earth. Do you think that was King David he's talking about back there? Never, by a thousand times no. His servant David was the servant, he said, through your seed he will be called the Son of David. And Jesus said, I am the root and I am the offspring of David. I am the bright in the morning star. And brother, let me tell you, there'll never be anyone prominent throughout eternity but the one. It's the plumb line, it's the Shiloh, it's the stick that takes all the other sticks. It is Christ in all, and through him we have access to the blessing of Abraham. How many believe we've got a right to stand and praise God? Raise your hand. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That'll clear things up for you. Raise your hand and begin to praise him for you. Will you do it? Oh, hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. It's just 9 o'clock. I'd like for everyone here tonight to take time to go in the prayer room. We're the only Israel God has. That's right, the real Israel. The real Israel. God has brought his people back because of a covenant that he said he would bring them back. That was his Old Testament people. But they'll never get saved until they accept Christ and turn to him. We believe that many of them will turn to Christ when the rapture takes place, when their babies all go into heaven, and they'll know that they went in the rapture.